Hello, and welcome to another episode of This Expat Life. Today I've got another interview with you, this time with Tamara Stroop. And Tamara is a Dutch woman who I met on Instagram a while ago. I don't know how I found her. I think she was organizing a bachata event for entrepreneurs, so she got my attention right away. And we started following each other and then had a conversation at some point. And then when she had decided to move to Barcelona and I also had just decided to move to Rio, we thought it would be nice to have a call. And we hit it off straight away. We had a lot of things in common. There was a really nice connection. And as we were talking to each other, we thought, this would actually be nice for a podcast. So we scheduled another call to record our conversation. So the episode that you're about to hear is not the classic interview I often have with other guests. This is more a two-way street conversation, as we both share about our first weeks in Barcelona and in Rio, what was difficult for us, what we're hoping to get. And also, it's just a very candid conversation about how we feel, the struggles we encounter, including the struggles in our dating life. We are very open about everything. And I'm really excited to share this episode with you, because if you are about to move abroad, or you have just moved, or maybe you've been somewhere for a long time, or maybe you are just thinking about moving abroad, I think our conversation will help you feel that you're not the only one going through certain struggles, and also make you realize how beautiful it is to be able to live abroad and how exciting your life can get. And maybe you've already noticed that there is actually another episode with part two online. Make sure to listen to this episode first before you go to part two, but don't skip part two because it has an interesting plot twist. I hope you enjoy this episode. Let us know what you think.
Hey, Tamara, nice to speak with you.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
So for the listeners of our podcast, we are recording this conversation together to be published on both of our podcasts. And the reason is because we both moved abroad. You moved to Barcelona and I just moved to Rio. Now, you've been there for a little bit longer than I have been in Rio, but we thought it would be super interesting to compare our experiences, you know, the struggles that we find ourselves in, the good things that are also happening, and just to have an informal, easy conversation about what it's like to live abroad. So I'm really happy to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm really happy to talk to you as well. Yeah, I'm sure I will learn something of it.
Yeah, I'm sure as well from the other side. So for the people who are listening to my show, could you maybe introduce yourself first so they know who you are, and then I'll do it later.
Yes, of course. Well, my name is Tamara Stroop. I'm from the Netherlands. I'm 33 years old. I lived actually almost all my life in the same city. So where I was born, in a hospital that is not existing anymore. In that place, I still lived. So yes, I lived when I was 18, 19. I lived for 6 months in Aruba. And when I was 26, I lived for 1.5 years, like 50% of the time in Greece with my Greek boyfriend at the time. But besides that, I always lived in my hometown, which is a very small hometown, very quiet hometown. I know that now. And besides that, I'm an entrepreneur. I coach mostly females with their business and the psychology around marketing and sales, but also about life and challenging. And it's more like a self-growth programs, what I offer.
Cool. And I think there's one thing missing in your intro.
And of course, my big passion, and that's also the reason why I moved to Barcelona, is dancing bachata sensual. And that is what I'm doing now for like two years. And I'm enjoying that still a lot. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, cool. Super happy to speak with you. And for those who are listening to your show, my name is Amanda Molinar. I'm a life coach for high achieving expats, and I help them live a life they truly feel happy in by going on a deep dive into who they really are and accepting who they are. And I'm currently calling in from Rio. I just moved here 6 days ago. Six days ago, I arrived here. And I lived abroad many times before, over 7 years, including three years in Brazil, in Brasilia, where I worked as a diplomat for the Dutch government. But I also lived in Argentina before. I traveled around South America for a year and a half, and I lived for 2.5 years in London. So yeah, I really know what it's like to live abroad. And now being back in Rio, yeah, I just feel so happy being back here. So I can't wait to share our experiences and to compare them as well. And I like bachata, but I'm not into it as much as you are. But I have a big passion for anything Latin America. So that really is my passion. I've been an entrepreneur now and a coach for 2 years. And I'm really excited to be doing it now from Rio, where I'll be working online with my coaches.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, that's also a little bit how we got to meet each other, right? It was like I was giving an event for bachata and you starting following me, and then you couldn't make it, unfortunately. Yeah. But that's a little bit how we got to know each other.
Exactly, because you know, not a lot of online entrepreneurs in the Netherlands combine it with bachata. And I was taking classes 2 years ago and I really liked the sound of it and just the vibe of it. And I loved how you combined that with your work as well, and that you created something for entrepreneurs. So I really wanted to come, but yeah, unfortunately I couldn't make it. Maybe next time when we're both back, this could be something.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Who knows? Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm really happy to speak with you because I see already like a so big of a contrast how we experience our moves.
Yeah.
For you, it's like I see you're glowing on Instagram. Yeah. You are super happy, like you're like, yeah, like a dream come true. And I felt that way in my life many, many times, mm-hmm. but not here. Like in the beginning here in Barcelona for me was very challenging, and I had a lot of struggles with adapting.
Yeah, can you maybe share what they were, what you were struggling with?
Well, first of all, I got sick a lot, so that doesn't help, obviously. But for example, the first week I wasn't sick, I just got here, and the noise. I am adjusted to the noise, but the first week I was like, how am I ever gonna sleep here? Like it was so loud. I live across a very busy street, not the busiest street, but it's like you have like the big street and then it's a side street of that big street.
Yeah.
But if I say side street, it sounds very small, but it's still a very big street with a lot of cars and with a lot of like police or ambulances or people shouting or motors or buses, like call it, and it's there. So in the beginning, I could not sleep off that. It was just so loud. And that's why I discovered that where I come from is like the quietest place on earth or something. So that was really challenging, because if you don't sleep, then you've got a problem.
Yeah, I know this all too well, unfortunately. It is funny because I am aware of the noise. Like I think you and I both are really sensitive to noise, or maybe that's something that you realize now. And I also knew that some cities in Latin America are just so noisy with those buses and everything that's going on. And so for me, when I was booking my Airbnb for the first 3 weeks, I really felt like, okay, I need to read all the reviews, and if there's anything about noise of the streets, it's a no-go for me. And now I'm in this super quiet location, but the apartment building itself is very noisy. So I hear the neighbors when they talk. And the air conditioning is super loud. But the funny thing is that my tolerance for noise back home is incredibly low. And now I'm just like, whatever. So every night I fall asleep with the air conditioning on, like it's insanely loud. And sometimes I hear the neighbors, but it doesn't annoy me anymore. So I don't know, but Rio does something to me with the tolerance for noise. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I also believe that if you are really, really happy where you are, that looking forward to that moment and the real life, the reality comes along with the expectations that you had,
mm-hmm.
about at least being in Rio, maybe not about the noise, but then you are more like, this is not going to affect me. I stop myself from affecting that it affects me. But I had a little bit more challenging with that, because this was one thing, like I also have a very loud neighbor.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. But now the noise is not anymore a problem. Now, actually, I start to sleep even a little bit better here than in the Netherlands. Like I have this sleep Maybe it's also just because I'm still recovering from my sickness, and that's why I just sleep a lot. But at least the noises, they don't wake me up anymore. So that, like, there is, I didn't believe it at the beginning because people were telling me you get used to it. And I'm like, because I slept with my earplugs in, and then over that, my noise canceling headphones.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had a problem with it in the beginning. Yeah. But now I'm fine with the noise. Now it's okay. That's fine. Then the second challenge that I had was like moving with homemates, like roommates, because I decided to go to Barcelona, and the prices here for the house, I don't know how it's in Rio. I heard a little bit about your Airbnb, so it's not that cheap, at least.
No.
It's super expensive here. So I was like, okay, just like we try first to live with roommates. Let's see how that goes. And although they are super nice, also that is a super big adjustment.
We spoke about that beforehand, right? And I know myself so well that I feel like I'm never gonna live with flatmates ever again, because I like my own space. And even though it gets to be a lot cheaper, like I'm happy to pay more for this apartment. Well, I wouldn't call it an apartment really, it's more like a small studio. And because I just know there's no way that I'm going to feel happy and energized when I have to share my space with people all the time. So how are you? Because I think on Instagram I saw that you were planning to move house. Is that correct?
Yes. 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 I decided that, like, again, it's nothing to do with my roommates, because they are both very nice. We have a good connection. I live with a girl and with a guy. But I do feel this too. Like I'm used to live on an 80 squared meter apartment for the last 7 years, and now I'm living in a 12 squared meter room, of course, with areas that we share. But I just miss sitting on my couch, or that I can invite friends here, but it's not the same as at home. Like if you have something for yourself. And those kind of things I do miss. So yes, I'm searching for something for myself, but it's super difficult. In the meantime, I do try to make the living where I am now as best as possible, because it can take time. I thought, I'm gonna do this like super easy, super fast, but I still have some conditions of, how do you say it? Like I still have some wishes that my apartment or studio should have. And I don't want to move and then realize, like, oh my god, actually where I lived was better,
you want to be sure. I get that. But also sometimes, like, wanting to make the right decision can also block us in going forward. Sometimes you just have to try out, right?
It's also not making the right decision or the best decision. It's more like, at least it has to feel like a yes, because now the week I went to one studio, and it was like, you know, if you order something from a Chinese website and then in real life, it's like totally not what the picture said it would be.
Yeah.
That happened with that house. Like on the photo was like super light and bright, and then in real life it was super dark and no sunlight.
I think I saw it on their Instagram. I mean, this is why I like Airbnb, because you get to read all the reviews, and I really read them, like all of them, to filter out the noise stuff and internet, because that's really essential for me to work online. So I guess there's also a way, I know for sure, to rent places here through, like, directly with the landlords, but I prefer paying a little bit more just to have this Airbnb flexibility and the reviews and also
this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna stay forever in an Airbnb, or hopping from Airbnb to another one?
Yeah, I'm hopping, because I didn't want to book anything in advance for a long time, because I did that not for a long time, but last time I was in Rio, I booked something for 10 days and the internet was so bad that I couldn't work there. And so I thought, I don't want to make that mistake again. I'll just book something for 3 weeks and then I'll find something later. But it's also high season here because of Carnival that is approaching. And I'm going to travel in 2.5 weeks with a friend for 3 weeks. So I will just have my Airbnb till my travels. Then I will travel around. Then I will find a new Airbnb. And then in April, I'm going to the US for, I think, 10 days. So then I will find afterwards, I will find a new Airbnb again, because for me, it doesn't make sense to pay, well, I'm paying 1100 euros now for 3 weeks. So even 10 days of paying it and not using it is a waste of money. Yes. So yeah, so I decided, you know what, I can save some money while traveling, and I'll just store my suitcase somewhere with someone in the meantime. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah. And for me, it's also a nice way because it alleviates the pressure a little bit on, like, I need to find the right apartment, because I know it's just for 3 weeks or 2 months. So yeah, that's doable.
Yeah. There are just not so many Airbnbs available here, because I look at the and like under 1200, 1300 a month.
Yeah.
Like you find one maybe, and then it's still a bit shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's very similar here, because the prices, well, at least in the neighborhood that I want to be in, Ipanema, it's just really expensive, even after Carnival, I already saw. So I think maybe I need to start booking something soon. But yeah, I don't mind paying some extra money for where I live, because it always really affects me, my location. So for me, that's like my priority. And then I prefer not to go out as much or save money elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's like, I already paid quite a lot of money for this room, actually. So there was all a little bit of like, this is kind of the amount of money I would like to spend. So going up, like if I want to move somewhere else, the house is like, I went to one studio, was 1,000 euro, and it was actually quite good. And then you have to pay for the bills, this is most of the time 150 euros. But the thing is, you pay also agency fees and deposit. Yeah. All that together makes it very expensive. But also, like, if you want to have a really nice apartment or a studio, because we still talk about studio, then it starts from 1,200, actually, the most of it I see now. And then you have to still pay 150 extra. And like 150 euro, I'm like, yeah, of course I would like to pay as well, that for my living, make myself more comfortable. But I always said to myself, like, I don't want to pay more like one third of my income to, to that line we already crossed totally. But yeah, I have also other wishes. So yeah, I'm sometimes really seeing like it has to be really worth it. So if I see an apartment that is 1300 totally, then at least it has to be like 80% of what I want.
Yeah, exactly. No, that does make sense. I agree. Yeah. So you mentioned also getting sick. That is something that I also remembered from last fall. I wasn't feeling mentally fantastic. And then I got virus after virus after virus, and it really knocked me out. Gladly, it happened before I left. But in your case, I imagine like it really halts you from designing your new life and building something there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I got sick the second week that I was here. Then I was like, it wasn't the worst sickness, but still it got me off my feet. And then I was for like 2-3 weeks, I was okay. And then I got sick again. But then I got it like really bad. I got a lung infection and I had like 5 days, 39 degrees fever. And it didn't heal. So it healed a little bit, but then it just, I kept going feeling... And then I got like the flu again, and then like all of these things all together, it took me like 3 weeks to be actually good again. I also destroyed a little bit myself, because I did go one day when I felt a little bit better, I went dancing immediately, because I was I'm here now, you know, like I'm living in this 12 square meter apartment, I'm not doing anything here in Barcelona. And the I think the difficult part is that your mind starts to have these conversations with myself, like, oh, should I really be here? Is this a sign of my body? Blah, 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 blah. Then I just realized, like, okay, if you are sick, never ever take your mind serious, because if you're sick, it just doesn't count, those thoughts, because you cannot think clear. Yeah. And I don't know if Barcelona is the city for me, but I can only discover that when I feel healthy.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. I agree. So it's good that you're super aware of your thoughts and know, like, okay, they're just playing tricks with me. And so how are you feeling now? Like, have you overcome all these challenges? And How do you feel about living in Barcelona?
Well, I'm actually like now 3 days actually good, so it's very short.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But today I went again to the gym since 100 years, and I was like, I did I off my I really needed to force myself to go because I was not in the mood anymore. It feels a little bit like, okay, we start again, you know, like we try it again, life itself. But now I'm feeling better again. I'm like, okay, I'm enthusiastic. I am like happy that I'm here, and I want to discover places and live the Barcelona lifestyle. And I just hope I can do it right now. Stay healthy, and I can dance more, and I can meet with people, making friends. I just two nights ago, one Dutch woman who lives already a couple of years here in Barcelona, she came to visit me, and we had dinner together. That was my first friendship thing, like besides a Dutch friend that already lives here. We know each other from the Netherlands, but besides her, this was my first new friend. I have a question about that, because how do you make like new friends? Because that is a thing I discovered, like, yeah, then that is what I have to do now here, right? Because I don't have a social anymore.
No, so I do have a few ways, but I have to say it also really depends on where you live. So I feel generally in Latin America, it's pretty easy. And I think Barcelona is similar, but I don't know. But how I've been making them is, well, first, actually in Rio, I just asked friends who were from here. I posted on LinkedIn actually a post saying, hi, I'd love to call in the power of this network. I've been here often before. I still have a few connections, but I just want to expand my network, and I'm looking for these kind of people. And I very specifically said what I was looking for. And I got over 100 reactions, and people started tagging other people. So then I got connected with quite a few. So I've been getting coffees with them. So basically now it has been friends of friends, and or even friends of just like my network contacts. And this is something that I really recommend. Like, if you know anyone who is from Barcelona or who lives there, just ask them, hey, do you have any nice friends that I could meet that you think would be nice to hang out with for me? Like, is there a match? And usually people are really happy to help you. So I've been doing that. And every day I've been hanging out with someone new, except for yesterday, it was a recurring person. And they often, I don't know, I got them through friends of friends, or they bring someone along. I also met up with someone from a previous trip. So I just use all my contacts. Basically, that's what I have. That's where I start. And then what I still need to do is I want to engage a little bit more with the other digital nomads here and entrepreneurs, both foreign and Brazilian. So there are quite a few Facebook groups that I was a member of already before I got here, like Expats in Rio, Digital Nomads in Rio. There's often like a WhatsApp group. And I'm part of this WhatsApp group, but most seem to be more interested in partying and taking drugs and pados and whatever. And that's not my thing. But I just put out there like, hey, if anyone wants to go for brunch or coffee or maybe one easy beer, then contact me. And someone did actually. But there's also another Facebook group that I really love, and it's called Girl Gone International. And they are all over the world in so many cities. Each city has their own Facebook group. And there's like a team of volunteers who organize activities, who, yeah, it's a place where you can ask advice only for women. And in The Hague, where I lived before, this group was really active. And here in Rio, it hasn't been so active. So I still need to write there like saying, hey, I'm in town, whoever wants to meet. And I did it once before when I moved to The Hague, and I was also looking for new friends there. And there were so many entrepreneurs or remote workers that wanted to meet up. So that was really a good move. So I would just go, I always say like posting groups, be open and proactive about what you're looking for, because a lot of people, you might think like, oh, no one is in of these expats is into bachata because no one posts about it, until maybe you do. And then all of a sudden you have 30 people who want to dance bachata with you. Still very often I see people writing, hey, I just arrived, who wants to go for a coffee? I was just saying to this to, I was speaking to a friendship coach for expats in another previous, in a podcast recording. And whenever I see these messages, I'm always like, yeah, I don't know. Like, if I have time on my hands, I would maybe say yes, but I don't. And I compare it always with dating. Like, sometimes you see this Bumble profile or another profile of a guy or a girl who likes everything, who's easygoing, loves hanging out with friends, loves going out for food, whatever. But there, it's, you know, it's a nice profile, but it doesn't really bring that spark. And then when you see a profile of someone who loves to go hiking with you, who's also a cat person, who is into books and personal development, and who likes that weird TV show, then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's my person, right? Because he's so specific. And I feel it's the same with friendship. So my tip is always to be super specific in what you're looking for, because that will reject certain people, but it will also bring in the right people that you have a really a good match with, and not just like, okay, we're hanging out because we're both lonely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to recognize yourself in someone, or share at least some of the same values or hobbies
exactly.
or things.
Yeah, exactly.
That is advice. Yeah. Well, certainly now I feel better, because before I didn't even have the time to do all of this.
Yeah.
Of course, I meet a lot of new people during my bachata parties and stuff. But even that, you know, of course I've been dancing here, but not that much as that I expected it to do. So we'll take that with me. Thanks.
Yeah, that will come. And personally, I also love using dating apps to meet new people. So if you're single, it's also a good way. I did it when I was single in Brazil, and I was living in Brasilia, but I sometimes traveled to Rio. I would just put on my dating apps, and I met some really great guys here. And you know, we had a couple of dates and that was it, but I still talk to them sometimes. So that is also a nice way of meeting locals and to engage more with the culture. And I don't think we speak about it enough, but it is a great way to meet people.
Yeah. Well, actually, I opened these apps again here, because here it is also much nicer to see what's in your screen than in the Netherlands. But I just gave it a shot again, and at least I think one and a half got like two guys. It's like, one, he actually invited me on a date, and the other one kind of. So we have like two persons now on the list. And I was a little bit, because one is not even from here, but I was a little bit like, I'm going to do this, because I never do these things in the Netherlands, you know.
Of course, like, you're going to do it. Yeah. I really feel like in the beginning, you just want to say yes to everything, just, you know, because you know you have to build up that life, given that your health is in good condition. And it's about finding the balance, what works for you. So I know I'm an ambivert and I need my time alone. So I say yes to everyone that suggests something, but I do it late in the afternoon or early evening. So at the end of the evening, I have it for myself to wind down with a book. So I really make it fit in my with my own needs, because I know I need that quiet time by myself.
Yeah, I understand.
But especially in the beginning, I'm always saying yes to everything, because I have this lust for life, just to get to know everything and everyone, and I'm really open to new things and new people. And then it slows down when I'm a bit longer here, but in the beginning I'm always like yes girl.
Well, I did every other invitation that I got, like meeting eating with a group of dancers and all of that things, I did all of that, because I totally agree with your mindset of in this case, like, if you get invited for things, go. This is the only way to make a social life for yourself. Even though if you are not sure if it's your people or whatever, you will figure it out.
Yeah, just go. I mean, you have to put yourself out there a little bit in the beginning, and maybe not even responding to invitations, but also being the one that suggests something. Even when in the Netherlands or your home country, like, I'm also really lazy back home and not super social. But here, I feel the need, one. But two, I also feel more excited about it. So maybe it's just like the change of scenery and the fact that life is outside is bringing up that more extroverted side in me as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do think about what's so nice about Barcelona is that it's a very international city, very cosmopolitan. And
yeah.
That's already what you have in common with most of the people.
Yeah.
Of course, A lot of Catalan people lives here as well,
Mm-hmm.
but and that's nice because we at least have like a strong culture. I like that to get to know another kind of culture. But there are so many expats here and so many digital nomads, people who
Yeah.
travel, and so you already have something in common with
Yeah,
most of
that's
the
true. Yeah, exactly. And one thing I'm also really curious about, how is it going work-wise for you? Because I'm just starting this week. So far it's been okay, but I'm really curious, like, how is it for you to move not only your life, but also, I mean, I guess you're still doing the same work, but doing it from a different place. So how is that working out?
Yeah, well, in all honesty, I do my job. Like I do the inside of my job. Like I still coach my clients. Everything around, I kind of left it a little bit how it was because I was so sick, and adapting, and like the whole life here. Even going to a supermarket is still challenging for, like, now it's not that challenging, but it still costs more energy than in the Netherlands. Like all the products are different. Sometimes I have to go to a supermarket. It's 15 minutes walk. Things are in Spanish. Like I'm learning Spanish, but still I can read half of the things, or I cannot find what I like. Long story short, it costs energy. All of those normal life things. So I just said to myself, okay, like for me, like marketing and all of that is just not my priority right now. So I focus on the on my clients to do the best job I'm possibly. That I can do for them. And with marketing, now I'm getting better. I feel also again like, oh, I want to share again, and I want to be online and visible. So slowly, slowly that grows. But I really gave myself a free pass of in the beginning of like, okay, this is where my, where my how do you say it? Capability is. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's good that you are easy on yourself also, and not also putting that pressure on yourself. Okay, work also needs to be the same, because that's just another big to do on your list then.
I do have to say, I do live a little bit like weird, but weird in a good way that really works for me, but it's very rare. I never ever met someone the same like me, how I look at money, for example. Because I'm not earning the most money in the world, not at all. But I believe that you can, like, that dreams are very much easier to achieve than what people mostly think. People mostly think, yeah, but I need a lot of money for that. And I don't believe that. So I earned in the past much more money, and I did not make any of my dreams come true because I only was busy with working. And now I earn so much less, but I do always believe like the money will adjust my lifestyle instead of I have to adjust to my money or my to adjust to the money or the income that I am receiving. So I really believe that like however I will, however my life I will, how I would do it. Like, even though if I would choose an apartment that I feel 100% yes, like, oh, this is amazing, or 80%, like between 80 and 80%, I do believe that my income will raise or will adapt. So I live that lifestyle with such an expensive house. But I have to feel it in that moment. If I don't feel it and I'm just forcing it, then it doesn't really work. So that's a little bit how I live. And that's also, I like now I wasn't worried about money at all, that I was sick for like so long. And I even got a new customer in the meantime. So like,
oh yeah, nice. But this could also happen in the Netherlands, right? If you, or your home country, if you work for yourself, that's the risk.
But people think that you are safer in your hometown or in your home country than when you're living abroad.
Yes, it's true. So, and how are you? I know you've been sick, but do you notice any changes in your work, or your inspiration or your productivity now that you are in a different location?
I have to say, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I cannot give an answer on that yet. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
When I was 2 years ago, I was for 2.5 weeks on my first solo travel. to Tenerife.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so frightening for me to go alone the first time, like on holiday. I felt really like I was so scary for me to do that, but I did it. And because it felt like I overwon something so big,
yeah,
I also had inspiration for like so much,
yeah.
So much. Here I felt a little bit differently. Like I knew already I could do this, like even though moving to another country is like 10 times more frightening than just go for 2.5 weeks on holiday. But I knew like the growth the last 2 years was insane, my
yeah.
personal growth. So I knew already like, oh, but I can do this. So I didn't felt, it didn't felt so big or so immersive like it felt before,
mm-hmm.
like in Tenerife, for example. But I do know what you mean, but I don't feel that yet here. Like,
okay.
Inspiration goes everywhere. And
yeah,
not much yet.
Okay.
Just very, I wished, I hoped for that. When
yeah.
I left the Netherlands, I was hoping a little bit like, maybe I will find also more, like I will be more inspired or I get
yeah.
new ideas. It didn't happen yet. And to be honest, that is also fine. I cannot
yeah.
force things.
Well, if you're not feeling good then physically, then it's hard to feel inspired also.
Yeah, exactly. So probably it has something to do with that as well.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
With you, because you're now 6 days in Rio.
Yeah. I feel such a big change already. I feel generally much more relaxed and happy. So yeah, yesterday I was walking on the streets in Ipanema and I'm just like, just so happy. Like I just feel so at peace and so at home. It's just the right match. And work-wise, I gave myself also a few days before and after the move to not do anything. But I was moving on Wednesday, and on Thursday, the Thursday before, I still had a whole day of coaching in The Hague. So I only gave myself a very brief moment to do this move, which is fine. This is how I like to work. And for me, I think because I moved abroad so often, it's not an emotionally big thing. It was more like a time thing that was the most challenging for me to get everything done on time. But emotionally, I just felt like, oh, I'll just do it.
For me, exactly the same, yeah.
and I gave myself a few days here to settle. But then, on Friday and last Sunday, I was already working a lot and I really enjoyed it. So on Sunday, I thought I'm going to have a rest day. No exercise today, no work. But then it was really raining so badly here and it wasn't a good beach day. So I just worked all afternoon and I really enjoyed it. And I have now a super busy week with so many calls and recordings and other things and sessions. And it makes me really happy because I always dreamt of having like this global life and business. And I designed my business in a way that it could travel with me, but I was never really using that opportunity. And now I'm bringing it into practice and yeah, I'm just so happy to see the result of it. And I do feel more, I feel my mind here is freer. So in the Netherlands, it used to be very cluttered with all my to-dos and cycling there and then back and in the rain and going to the grocery store for the fifth time that week. And I felt like I had much less focus there and my mind was very noisy and cluttered. And here, like, I only have my two suitcases, my small studio, and it feels much more laser focused and in life in general, but also I think it's already working out in my business. So I've been having some ideas that I want to, things I want to create, and I feel really clearly, okay, it's going that way. And I also feel like sometimes you just know that good things are coming your way or that growth is coming your way. And I really feel that this year it's going to be for me. And I just feel like the move to Rio has been essential in it. And I just feel already so much growth coming towards me. So this is definitely something that Rio has been essential in.
Nice. Oh, that's so good to hear.
Yeah.
Yes. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what also really helps is that I know the city, I know the country. I've lived here before. I speak the language. I know how
you know what to expect, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And it's different because last time I was a diplomat, so you get a lot more privileges that I truly miss now. Things get harder for you also. And now I have to take care of everything myself. But I didn't immigrate here or migrate here. So I'm just here on a digital nomad visa. I know it's going to be for just 6 months. So it feels very light to me because when I lived abroad before, it was for much longer periods, way more serious. And so that also helps. And I know what to expect. And personally, I always tell myself, if it doesn't work out, I'll just move back. You know, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I do think you point out an important thing there. Like if it's temporary in your mind, I think you make yourself more to also enjoy every single moment of it.
Yes.
And for me, it's just like, I don't know yet. Like I sublented my apartment in the Netherlands, and she will leave at the end of April. Mm-hmm. And then I can find for a half year longer someone else, but I don't know if I will arrange that. Like if I will find someone, and maybe I will go back. Maybe I want to go back. Maybe I want to stay here. Maybe I want to go somewhere else. So my mind is, it's always, sometimes it's not always, but sometimes it's like, you can go here, you can go there. Like there are so many choices.
Yeah.
And that makes me sometimes a little bit unstable, I would say, like, unstable in my head. Also because the whole idea of going to Spain in the winter was escaping the cold, but it's actually colder here than in the Netherlands. Like outside is warm, but inside is
cold. I heard it before.
Older than in the Netherlands. So sometimes I'm like, well, no, oh my God, what I'm doing here? I'm sick all the time. I'm cold. Like,
back to Rio.
Yes. Yeah. I might do that. One more option to add to the list.
Yeah, sorry. But I know, I recognize that, like, when you have a platter of options, like, you have this paralysis, right? Like, you don't know what to choose. And I think for me, it always helped me to say, like, I'm not a, some, there are two types of people when they make choices. One is the maximizer and one is the, I forgot the name, but the maximizer wants to make the best decision possible and will take a lot of research and time to come up with the best decision. Whereas the other person makes a decision much quicker and it might not always be the best decision, but it's done like this. And I'm really that last category. And I just told myself, it's going to be 6 months. And yes, it might be longer because I really love Rio. And practical things will come up that I also need to take care of, like taxes and who knows what else. But I always say to myself, I will deal with that later. So when I got two cats, for example, in Brazil, I was living by myself and I thought, and I was traveling every 2 weeks. So I thought, oh, it's going to be so hard. Like, what will I do with the cats when I travel? And I always tell myself that is a problem for later and I will sort it out later. In the worst case, I will have to throw a lot of money to it, you know, and then it gets solved. But I always believe there is a choice. And I just stick to the choice I made for that time. And I'm not going to allow myself to continue thinking about it. So I'm also thinking maybe I will stay longer. But I will decide that when the moment is there. And in the meantime, I'm just doing it.
Sometimes I get distracted by my mind, but the decision now is to stay in Barcelona because I want to experience it in a healthy way. Like now, if I would go back to the Netherlands, or I would even decide to go to another place, I could not say I give it a proper chance, you know?
No.
So, and then I have to do the whole build up, like meeting people and getting to know the area. I have to do that all again. And that's the hardest part.
But it gets easier the more often you do it.
but still, you know, like also when you say like, I'm going to travel here and this and that, like it sounds amazing. But the whole reason, one of the reasons why I moved to Barcelona is because I'm also a bit tired of the packing, unpacking, because I traveled a lot the last years for bachata festivals mostly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I just go to live in a bachata festival. That's much easier.
Yeah, it's
also a little bit about what you want from your abroad experience.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's funny because a lot of people told me like, oh, I wish you a good journey, you know, like something bigger. And one family member was a bit concerned, like, okay, what are your goals for Rio? Like when you leave, what do you hope to achieve also business-wise? And I thought, people, I don't see this as a one-time thing, like one journey and then I come back. No, this is the start of my new global life. and Rio is just the first part of it. But then I'll probably spend a few months in the Netherlands and then I'll go elsewhere again. This is how I envision it. So it takes off the pressure as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to find anywhere where I want to settle right now. I want to have that global life. And the way that I'm expressing it now is by living here. And how it looks later, I will find out again.
I say that to myself as well, and also to other people, like, Barcelona is just the first starting point. It doesn't have to be the end. It's just, I'm living in Spain. I'm doing it. This is what I want for years, and I'm doing it now. So that's what's counting. I do have one other question, or at least a subject that I want to discuss with you. What I believe that a lot of 30 plus people has like an objection as well to start this broad global life. And that is like, how does this work if you also in the future might want to start a family?
It's a topic. We have a separate podcast recording on this because it is definitely something that I struggled with and sometimes still struggle with. So I also thought a couple of years ago when I moved back to the Netherlands, I thought it's time for me to grow some roots. And then a lot of bad things happened. You know, both my parents died, my grandma died, and then two relationships ended. So I was miserable for a long time. But when I was debating whether to go to Rio, I had two objectives. And one was, okay, what is it going to mean for my business? And what is it going to mean for my love life? And then a good friend pointed out to me saying, but Amanda, do you believe that you can only have a love life in one city if you live in one city? And I thought, no, I've done long distances before. I'm also very flexible. I don't mind moving somewhere else. And that really opened my eyes. Like, I was so stuck to the idea of it needs to be with a Dutch person and it needs to be in The Hague or close to The Hague. And we both need to be settled there. But it was making me miserable. But it was like a subconscious belief. Like, I wasn't aware of it until my friend pointed out. But it was making me miserable because actually, I don't think I can have a really good relationship with a Dutch guy who has never lived abroad, because that's not how I am. So I cannot really level with them like that.
Yeah.
And so when I moved to Rio, it was a concern. But then I really started believing, no, if I'm like this, and I have several other female friends that are like this, then there must also be guys like this. And it's just up to me to find them. And I was actually, I had a few dates with someone just before I left. And I hope he doesn't listen to this show, but he wrote to me also. I told him at some point, like, look, I think, you know, we need to end it because I'm moving away and stuff. And, you know, a bunch of other reasons. And then he also expressed something. He said, I see that you are on this transformative path, like, assuming with my business and my international desires. And he says, I admire it and I understand it, but I also wonder if a relationship is really your priority. And then I thought, oh, wow, it really triggered me, because I thought, yeah, if you have a view of a relationship, living in the same place, starting a family ASAP, and you need to live together, you know, then if that is your standard, then I understand that you think that, but that is not my standard. And so I was really annoyed that he put that on me and then assessed, okay, it must not be your priority. So this really strengthened my belief. I want to find the right guy who views relationships and life the same way. And I know they exist. So now I feel really strongly it's going to happen this year. I'm sure of it. But before I was much more insecure about it and fearful, and now I'm really like, it's going to happen. I will find someone who can match my lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Funny enough, I had a conversation about this with my mother, and she was like, yeah, but the chances that you're going to find your guy in Wageningen is like super small.
Exactly.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, that is very small, you know, like, even though like, Wageningen doesn't have so much people to live, so that's already one problem. But also, like, the people who live there, like, not all of them obviously, but like most of them, they don't live abroad, they just have lives there, and they are like super Dutch, and like, and it's all fine. Like, I don't have but if I would meet someone there, I would be super happy with it as well. But I also believe if that would happen, it would already have happened. Like, searching for it in Wageningen would be like really, really weird, or I have to like just be full-time on these dating apps.
yeah
then maybe. But I do think like the possibilities of finding someone who like is really suitable is more abroad in international cities, or doesn't have to be specifically Barcelona.
No,
can be
yeah, but the cities that attract that kind of people as well. I agree. Although I also, like, my last relationship was with someone who also never lived abroad, but he let me very free in whatever I wanted to do. So that between us, that wasn't the issue, that it didn't work out, you know? So I think it can also still happen with someone who's not on the same page, but at least really accepts how you want to live the life and can be flexible about it. Yeah. And also,
Okay. Yeah, the only one thing is like where I meet a lot of guys is, of course, in the dancing scene.
Yeah.
But this is not particularly the best scene to meet the love of your life.
Yeah.
Like it happens. Obviously, it happens. But it's also a scene where, like, of course, we dance very intimate with each other. So, so things happen in the scene. Like, not as much as you want, you don't have to do it. And I'm a quite brave type, I would say. But I'm also more carefully now, after 2 years of being in the dancing scene and dated some guys in the dancing scene. I'm like, okay, whew, this is another kind of guys than we see outside.
Yeah.
Toxic relationship you have everywhere. But I think in the dancing scene, it's a bit more. But yeah, the chances that I will end up with a dancer is, of course, a little bit bigger because that's where I meet guys.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's also like if I would meet a guy outside of the dancing, he has to be super open-minded because he has to be okay that I dance super intimate with other guys.
Yeah. Well, they exist, I'm sure of it. And I think what has really helped, what is going to help me, I think, I put on Bumble here. I'm not super active yet, but in my profile, I've very clearly put, you know, I'm looking for that global lifestyle still. And I'm looking for someone to be in a stable relationship with, but to also go on an adventure with. So making it very clear, these are my standards. This is what I'm looking for, just like with friendships.
Maybe you should write my Bumble profile.
Yeah.
No, I can do it. Yeah,
I think like it really helped my latest fling and with a guy who said that it really, like, I was already a little bit more clear about what I was looking for, but now it really strengthened my belief. I need to be super clear, and if it from the beginning is not with someone who can match that, it's a no-go, because I know what I want in life and I'm not going to go below that anymore. So yeah, I think that helps to be
we
clear.
Are raising our standards.
Nice. Hey, Tamara, I really, really enjoy talking with you about our different experiences. And maybe we should do this again, like in 6 months or so, when we are settled, and compare again how we are finding it.
Yeah, I'm very curious in which countries we live then.
Yeah, I will still be here because I'm leaving. Well, I think I'm leaving early July back to the Netherlands to enjoy summer there. And then, but in, you know, who knows where else I might go afterwards.
Nice. Yeah, I like this conversation a lot. Yeah, we can talk for hours, I think, about this subject.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch anyway on Instagram and keep each other updated on our adventures.
Yes, thank you so much as well.
We hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation, and we are really curious to know what you think. So if you want to share something that, you know, that you heard us saying that made you feel you weren't the only one, something that you recognize, you relate to, or you have a question about living in Barcelona or about Rio, just get in touch with us. You will find our contact details in the show notes. And for now, I want you to go to part 2, because as I said, there is a plot twist on Tamara's side. Enjoy.